You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tin can phone, Mike and Armand Joe. Please, we the ones that you can depend on to bring the voices from the inside out. Locked down, but they not locked out. No filter over here. Check what we be talking about. Feet up in the trenches, bop. While you're on defenses, metal detector before you enter. Shaky medical and see your stitches. They be pushing their weight around. Educate, didn't have the time to wait around. Taking classes while they played around. That's what we call staying down. That's what we call staying down. That's what we call staying down. Mike, Armand, Joe. Gang is this 10K phone. Woo! Get me hyped every time. Gang in this motherfucker is Misfit Oddie, 10K phone. We out here with my brother, with my partner, Joe. A Rosenberger, that is. What's happening, Cuddy? What's going on with you, Joe?
What's up, Queens? It's good to see you, man. Thank you for introducing me. It's good.
Yes, yes.
Great. Dang. You got a mon. Good to see you, dude. You look like you're in some fresh air.
Yeah, I got fresh air. All good things going on. Mike, how you doing today?
Oh, me? It's another day in the workshop, slaving away, taking those business calls in between, which is certainly, it's not very safe, but is some form of necessary to keep this odd dinghy afloat over here.
Fair. Fair enough.
On all of our minds is... What have you been doing this week to get busy on some contraband?
Yeah, Mike, you're the one that we had a contraband episode last week.
Yeah.
And you had to leave. So we were wondering
on that night shift.
What contraband did you bring us this week?
Okay. Well,
wait. Okay. Mike, what you did not know is. How did you bring the contraband? Because Joe said there's a specific way that you have to bring the contraband or it doesn't count.
I meant to text Michael and say, but you know what? Honestly, it would have been uncomfortable for both of us if I had told you the stipulation on what makes it contraband. Not only does it have to be the object, it has to be brought to this place in this way. But just tell us, show us what you brought and how you brought it.
I see. Well, I was not informed of the special way. That being said, Joe did send me a text. He was like, yo, get your contraband. And so... I'm not telling y'all how it got here. It just got here. You know what I'm saying?
Contraband.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying. Ooh. I'm not telling y'all nothing. Nothing happened. I just got some stuff. You don't ask no questions. And we're going to be all right.
Come on.
I was in the workshop, and I was peeping around the trash, and I was like, ooh, I could do some cool art on this. So... I got this cool little thin piece of balsa wood.
Okay.
Right? You could draw on this.
It wasn't bought for that purpose. So, yes, that is most definitely contraband.
Right? Contraband. This was in the trash. Pulled it right out of the trash.
Contraband. And have you done anything with the balsa wood or is it just balsa wood?
I mean, it's just balsa wood right now.
That is. Honestly, though, that's, I don't know, I feel like our listeners are going to be unimpressed. Like, balsa wood, right? I want to tell you, the odd piece of paper could get you written up for contraband.
Written up?
Yeah. Like a piece of paper slipped under a door, or I remember one guy actually got written up for contraband because a piece of paper did go under his door, and they assumed it was gambling paraphernalia. So, balsa wood could be, you know, construed into anything.
I have here contraband that was taken from Arts and Social.
Okay, tell us a little bit. What is that?
His notebook. He did
that. is a collage. That is a collage that I made when I first got into Arts and Social with Joe Rosenberger, that is. Contraband.
Why is that contraband?
I would love to hear, actually. Like, I mean, again, this is just, that's just an expression. It's just a casual.
It is contraband because it is ripped newspaper clippings.
Ripped newspaper? What do you mean that's contraband?
Not even newspaper, magazine.
You're just making a collage over there.
Yeah, contraband. What you call a collage, we call contraband.
What? Why is the collage contraband?
Well, yeah, explain that. Tape. Why is the collage contraband?
Let me break down the levels of contraband. One.
And just so you know, because Queez is holding something up and we can see it, there's dollar signs on it. There's an American flag upside down. It says disasters. It says pain. There's a gun on it. It says day and night. Got people on there.
People that's homeless and then somebody that's a rapper.
Whoa.
With dress.
Both sides of me. I'm so homeless within myself. But the levels of contraband, the ripped magazine, contraband within itself. So every little piece of paper on there is another piece of contraband that they could write up.
Each tape. Individual fragment?
Yes, each individual one could be marked as a new piece of contraband, as its own piece of contraband.
A lot of pieces.
And then the tape. Yeah, that's front and back.
Tape.
The tape on there that holds it together alone is contraband because we're not allowed to have tape. Because I don't know why, but grown men can't have tape.
See, that brings me to my contraband number two. I was just over in the postal region of the prison, and number two, tape dispenser with tape.
Contraband.
I do want the audience to know also that the dispenser with the tape is probably a few extra bags of coffee. And I hate to say that because it sounds...
You say worth a couple bags of coffee? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, you would get a...
Whoa, couple bags of coffee? I didn't even know you were moving pounds in there. I just heard shots of coffee.
Yeah, no. Sometimes
bags you gotta move of in coffee?
The bag. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I hate to say...
What does this mean? You can even get bags of coffee?
I hate to say it. Well, first of all, it's... To call it a bag of coffee and think of what you get at Fred Meyer's.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, it is freeze-dried instant coffee, but that's besides the point. That is actually the opposite of contraband, is all you're allowed to have. But I hate to say it like that because it does sound like such a small thing and it's really actually valued so heavily in there. And this brings me to the contraband I brought to show you guys today.
Whoa.
Joe, what'd you got for us?
What are you showing us? Describe it with your eyeballs and your mouth.
Okay. This is a tattoo machine I made today. It has a motor I pulled out of a CD player.
Whoa.
I wired it with wires from headphones and cut a pen in half and made a candle and melted the plastic tube from the
top. Hold on. Made a candle. What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with the listeners. I did not make the candle. I was talking as if this was done in prison where they make candles. I use an actual wax candle, but in prison, you have to run a wick with a teabag string, as a teabag string through a jar of oil, a baby oil or something.
What? Start from the beginning. I mean, the beginning, so hold on. You're making candles in there?
Yes. Yeah, and then, well, the candle does a few things. Not only do you use the candle to melt the barrel from inside the pen to form perfectly to your needle, as you see here. Whoa. But then you put a paper bag over the candle, and all the soot collects on the bag overnight, and you scrape it out with a razor, and that's how you make your ink. That's not how I made ink here because it's a mess. It gets soot everywhere. People soot on their walls. I care about getting soot where I live in my apartment, so I didn't do that.
Wait a minute. Wait, yeah. I was actually, you know, people talk about smoking stuff in prison all the time. I'm like, how do you have, like, I know about the lighter, which is like, what is it, a battery and something?
Two batteries.
Yeah.
Two double up batteries and a string of Brillo.
Brillo. Yeah. So that's the prison lighter. And so I'm like, okay, you can light stuff, but like, how do you smoke something and like, no one is like, hey, that's smoke?
Well, they do know if you got a one shooter, then that's the aluminum foil wrapped up into like a pipe form object, and you put the little bit of marijuana in the tip of it, and you just it's one hit. To be honest with you, there's lighters like a mug in there.
with cigarettes, you kind of get your chance, you light it up with your little Brillo and battery combo, and you walk the track, and you know what I mean? You hope nothing happens. That's what you do.
Facts.
Interesting.
If you're smoking on the dorm, one of the techniques slash tricks is you have somebody burn popcorn. Cause then when you burn popcorn, you feel me, it's gonna overpower
the popcorn effect. The popcorn effect.
Shout out to the stoners.
What is happening? This is Tin Can Phones Misfit Audi. Tin Can Phone Podcast airing every first Tuesday of the month on K-Boo Radio. This is K-Boo's end of the year drive, and our goal is to reach $45,000. 45,000 by December 31st. It's important for you to donate, for Tin Can Phone is the only way for the ones inside to hear us and to get their voices from the inside out. Tin Can Phone is that pipeline. It's also important for you to donate because K-Boo is a community radio, so therefore needs your support, needs your help. K-Boo is built and ran by the community itself. We're aiming to reach 45,000 by December 31st. Now, to donate, you can go to kboo.fm/give. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or on your mobile app, you can hit the donate button on the mobile app right off of your phone. And you can text KBOO to 44321. If you ain't got the app, text KBOO to 44321. And if you're a little old school and like to use the mail, hey, KBOO at 20th Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Tin Can Gang, Misfit Audi, KBOO Radio. When?
Legal crowd control, I like that. It's not contraband, but it's like to flounce out the contraband. So Joe, with the candle, how are you just collecting soot? Like, how are you just leaving a flame undetected, collecting soot for
extra time? So I didn't think contraband would be so wound in with the actual architecture. Like, there are more crafty ways of collecting the soot and lighting candles, but try to use your imagination about about that, because I'm not going to...
No, I mean, I think that's good also that we're, like, not ruining it for everyone, but it just is really kind of like... I mean, it's funny because when you watch the prison shows, they're like, oh, look, there's a knife under the pillow. Yeah. And then a lot of times they're just like, there's nothing in here. And so I'm just like... Where the fuck is all this actually, though, that is, like, it exists? So anyway, I feel like my curiosity has been sated. You can keep describing your tattoo machine. You can also tell me things.
Mike, let's just get... Go ahead. Sometimes I'll be too real to be famous.
Well,
get famous over here.
Because, like, we just need to be real. Like, the police ain't watching this. The COs ain't watching this. This for the streets. Understand, like... You got to understand the human Louis bag, you feel me? You got to understand your human pockets, which I never was able to get in tune with, but, like, them dudes is sticking ounces of tobacco in their ass, you feel me, and getting it in prison. Like, I'm talking about ounces.
In their butt. Me?
Yeah, in their
butt. So
ain't no cavity.
Yeah. that's a common comical discourse on films, right? So an ounce. How, tell me more. Like, where is it going? Like, how does it get out? Like, let's go.
No, get so
that tobacco out your butthole, all up in this show.
Whoa.
Have you had to? Never mind.
You know what? I hate to say it. Look, this is gonna sound bad. I can answer these questions. Okay. I was on outside work crew, and I have to say now, I'm not building up to tell the listeners that I put things in my.
Yeah, even if I did. You was in a suitcase.
No, even if I did, I couldn't admit it because that's a crime.
Put that junk in your trunk. Be honest with them. You're free now.
No. I wouldn't even admit that if it happened. The point is, I was on the outside work crew, and it was actually a very common topic for people. Everyone, like, even though, like, homosexuality is so taboo, and the thought of another man's ass usually sends people reeling, when we get to outside work crew, everyone is... thrilled to discuss things that they get in their ass to bring back and give to their friends. And so I mean
let's tell theatrical, like, usually the ones who don't have money, the ones who don't have the outside help, those are the guys that the bigger guys are sending on work crews. Like, you literally keep people out of trouble, make them get on work, not make, have them get on work crew for the purpose of going to pick up your packages.
What does work crew mean?
Outside work crew means you wake up every morning and you are one of the few that actually go out to the community and do yard work, landscaping, work at schools, you know, anything that the prisons, usually minimum custody prisons, have contracts with outside entities.
Yeah, you get the highway work,
facts.
All that stuff.
So think about this, Mike. When you work in the highway, you could think of, like, okay, say me and Joe, I'm the dude on the inside, Joe's on the work crew. I asked Joe, like, where did y'all stop at when y'all was cleaning the highway? And we stopped at mile marker 20. I could strategically get on the phone and have my folks drive on that freeway and throw a McDonald's bag out at mile marker 22. And when they walked them 2 miles cleaning up the freeway, that McDonald's bag would be there.
You know, it's really funny, though, that you're talking about, like, this episode's about contraband, and we're talking about work in prison and outside workers. And, like, I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. I mean, for specifically, for some reason, Michael, I'm interested in what you have to say about how work and contraband are related, and somehow one relies on the other.
I definitely feel like I can unpack that, but I am curious exactly what you mean. When you say work and contraband, you mean, like, what Queez is explaining, or?
Yeah, so, like, work enabled contraband, but, like, contraband was only a thing. Work was only, like, people only go to that job because of the demand and the idea of contraband, getting it.
I mean,
both supports, you know, they're not,
I see what you're saying,
because of each other.
I mean, some of what you're explaining is, like, as we're talking about it, I'm learning it, right? Like,
yeah,
I was, as Queez was talking, was like, the whole time I'm just, and my experience, right, of coming in, they're always talking to you like, yo, don't bring stuff. And there's, like, I brought mad stuff inside, and for the legalese, stuff I was allowed to bring in, and I brought it out, you know what I mean? And there was, like, this slightly precarious zone, but usually always, like, you know, when we were bringing Justin's art out or something, and, like, we talked to the guard, and they're like, yeah, get this out of here, or whatever, you know, it was like, it was all a lot of, and it's interesting because of that, because, like, it was also a weird superpower. It's like, hey, we made a bunch of street art in here. Like, now we need you to get it out. And I'm like, cool, I'll strap it to the top of my car. Like, because of the situation. And that's, like, again, the birth of this show was, like, some form of illicit material that was and remains in and out of the prison, but there's still, it's still under bondage in some ways. And I think that is, I mean, when you're talking about work again, so to, again, part of what you're asking, I think, remains elusive to me, and I'm learning it, but the, through my own lens, me doing work inside, and some of, like, the origin stories of Art and Social and, like, contraband was around Answers Without Words, which I'm not exactly, I think that all predates you, but is that big photo installation that was above, like, the CIO or whatever. And it was, like, photos that artists around the world took of questions that dudes inside wrote, and they answered with the photo. And then the person, the photographer, would send questions and they would answer with photos. But the original idea came from that because, like, Anka was in the prison and had people write some stuff on paper, and then, like, just took the paper out, and then was, like, at a bar or something, and was like, look at these cool questions. And then they were, like, looking at the paper, and they're like, wait a minute, this is contraband, because we're, like, not supposed to be, like, passing stuff in and out of the prison. And so in the Art and Social practice, we, like, we're thinking about, so, like, that's our work, right? And we're dealing with some form of contraband, and we're moving it in and out of the prison, even though it's, like, allowed or something, or being permitted by the organization, there is this, like, superpower where we're doing a thing that other people cannot do. But I was also thinking about how, like, and it seems like part of your question, but thinking about guys who work inside, and, like, certain guys get certain jobs because they have access to, like, the kitchen or a workshop or certain things that then, even sometimes with permission, like, you know,
one of our dudes being on the like the inside painting crew, but they had access to this paint box and the certain tools, and so they can do the thing that they're interested in. So is that what you're asking about?
Well, I wish.
What is happening? This is Tin Can Phones Misfit Audi. Tin Can Phone Podcast airing every first Tuesday of the month on K-Boo Radio. This is K-Boo's end of the year drive, and our goal is to reach $45,000. 45,000 wow by December 31st. It's important for you to donate, for Tin Can Phone is the only way for the ones inside to hear us and to get their voices from the inside out. Tin Can Phone is that pipeline. It's also important for you to donate because K-Boo is a community radio, so therefore needs your support, needs your help. K-Boo is built and ran by the community itself. We're aiming to reach 45,000 wow by December 31st. Now, to donate, you can go to kboo.fm/give. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or on your mobile app, you can hit the donate button on the mobile app right off of your phone. And you can text KBOO to 44321. If you ain't got the app, text KBOO to 44321. And if you're a little old school and like to use the mail, hey, KBOO at 20th Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Tin Can Gang, Misfit Audi, KBOO Radio. When?
You actually brought up a lot of things that made me think of a lot of other things. Because I was only talking about how, like, the job of outside work crew supported the income, like, the incoming contraband. But contraband, like, people only got the job, like, the job was only there because people only would only do it if there was a possibility of getting that. Like, most of the people didn't want to do the outside work crew. You had people that got on it to get contraband, and their friends would join to help bring it back. And so, like, you know, there would be less demand for work if there was no possibility of contraband. And of course, if there was no work, there would be no contraband. But you brought up things about, like, you know, like the kitchen job. People, like, there's contraband that, I hate saying contraband because it makes it sound like a, I don't know, like something that people, that isn't people doing it, but it is. It's actually like livelihood. It's people's livelihood. People get a job in the kitchen, and like their job in the kitchen not only pays them, I say not only, it only pays them like $30 to $40 a month.
$28.
Yeah. So they support themselves actually on what they can get out of the kitchen and trade to other people.
Right, right.
Which of course is contraband, but like their job in the kitchen isn't about the paycheck, or their job in the as a clerk in the education office isn't about the paycheck. It's about all the favor that they earn, or the where they can get their hands,
the form of power that they have. I mean, it's very fascinating that you're bringing this up, because it does call this really interesting thing into question, both that the system is designed in a way where the only way to survive is to create, is to do more illicit acts, but also that, like, even us referring to it as contraband, like, admonishes the action, even though it is a form of survival and necessity. And I wanted to, like, call out also that I think the obsession with contraband in our world, or our shared world, not, and to the listener, our shared world being like art and prison stuff, was because there was such a romanticism around contraband through the artist's gaze, and that, like, was envisioning, and almost we were like staying away from it, but part of it that even inspired it was that they made drawings, and it was like a cop getting his head beat in or something, and then the guards took it down, and it was like referred to as contraband, and we were like, we should do a show about contraband. And that's when it kind of, like, we started to really blow up that topic. But yeah, it's really fascinating that by continuing to, like, really enforce it as that, we are, like, also in a way, yeah, like not almost disrespecting like the intention behind the reason for people doing it.
Well, I mean, contraband, that's the thing about the word contraband and in what it alludes to, it can allude to so much. So like, for example, I was a tutor until I got fired. I got fired from a prison job for not showing up at time for tutoring people. But one of the illicit contrabands I would do is I would be able to go into the educational office and get Sharpies. You know, I mean, silver, gold, different types of, there we go, black Sharpies, blue Sharpies. And I would be able to sell those different pieces of Sharpies for money, $2.50 each, you know, a pop ticket each. But that is the same word, contraband, that is the same as drugs in your asshole or whatever other contraband you may think of. So it's like contraband has such a wide range of what it can be.
Totally. And that's, I mean, it's interesting when there was both the challenge of bringing contraband as well as maybe how I got it here. That being said, like, I actually know what genuine contraband is through this conversation that we kind of got into about things that would be considered contraband that are so obnoxiously on the line of what would or should not, which I don't, again, know what you spoke about last session, but kind of the fascination was like empty peanut butter jar full of jelly beans, contraband.
Contraband. You know,
a container with not its original contents, contraband.
Contraband.
Let's see what I brought for that. I brought this piece of contraband. Empty LaCroix can.
Whoa. I mean, hold on, wait a second. Even if it was full, you're still way out of bounds for having that.
But this one is empty.
I guess that makes it worse.
Worse?
Queez, what do you got going on, man? What are you, I mean, I feel like you've been quiet, but I want to hear what you have to say about contraband.
Do you want the truth?
Always.
Always like watered the f- down. I want to talk about real contraband. I want to talk about, yeah, but y'all onto something here.
No, tell us what do you want to talk about, bro? Tell us, bro. Y'all, we have one chance to be honest. Be honest.
Y'all are on point so much, and Michael brought up so many great points. Sometimes less voices are enough. Like, y'all going to get to it, and there's no need to rush. Like, y'all getting around to every piece. Y'all getting around to every piece of contraband and how it's looked at in so many different angles, you feel me? So, like, I just seen a different way, you feel me? Like, I seen a different way from you, Joe, and you are my, like, my time was different, my experiences was different, my like, it was just different for me. And I would just, the message I would try to get across or the knowledge that I would try to get across, because people tend to, contraband is deemed as something bad, no matter, like, just the word contraband is deemed as something wrong that's not supposed to be altered or bad, when really contraband is a way of life. Contraband is a way, like you said, livelihood. There are some who will not survive unless they have a sense of contraband during their time, or they will not make it. And it come all the way down to pills. Some, they give people pills who don't need them, who turn around and sell them to the ones who do. But it's just like the black market. Like, how am I in prison? You know I need these certain medicines, but you're denying me for whatever reason. But you'll turn around and get these same exact medicines to this other dude who don't need them at all, and in turn sell them to me anyway. So I still need contraband to get my medicine, to buy the medicine that y'all are refusing to give me.
Right.
So I just feel like this shit gets so much deeper, you feel me? Like, it's a power struggle. It's toxic masculinity. It's so many things that line up with contraband, and I just feel like we're not talking about that. I feel like we were talking about some kindergarten.
No, exactly. Like, the kindergarten, like Sharpies, this and that, is different than, like,
well, no, not even that, because that was your way of living. It's not the fact of what contraband is, it's the mindset behind why people are so heavy into contraband and why contraband is such a,
bring us there. the listeners.
Yeah, talk about chicken pills, bro. Talk about
that's what I'm saying. It's not even an act of contraband. It is working in DOC for $20 a month and then being expected to live off of that. When they charge you $5 for getting the DR, they're gonna charge you another $7 for whatever you are. You feel me? Like,
what is happening? This is 10 Can Phones Misfit Audi. 10 Can Phone Podcast airing every first Tuesday of the month on K-Boo Radio. This is K-Boo's end of the year drive, and our goal is to reach $45,000. 45,000 wow by December 31st. It's important for you to donate, for 10 Can Phone is the only way for the ones inside to hear us and to get their voices from the inside out. 10 Can Phone is that pipeline. It's also important for you to donate because K-Boo is a community radio, so therefore needs your support, needs your help. K-Boo is built and ran by the community itself. We're aiming to reach 45,000 wow by December 31st. Now, to donate, you can go to kboo.fm/give. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or on your mobile app, you can hit the donate button on the mobile app right off of your phone. And you can text KBOO to 44321. If you ain't got the app, text KBOO to 44321. And if you're a little old school and like to use the mail, hey, KBOO at 20th Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. 10 Can Gang, Misfit Audi, KBOO Radio. When?
What's the DR?
It's a capitalist world in there, and it's like you have to become capitalistic in order to make it. And the only way for you to do that is to be engaged in some form. Because I done seen some of the what we call squarists, and I just call some of the most straight-laced dudes come in there, and literally they get drawn into one part of the contraband world as, then another, just trying to survive. You know, I spoke upon on one of my own incidents that we spoke upon reoffenders, and how people always attend that if I'm a reoffender, I'm just some monster bad dude. But like, if I'm reoffending because I'm just in a position where I just can't score and I can't make it, so I make a decision and I land back in there. For me personally, my daddy died when I was 11 years old, so I've always been the one to pay the bills. I've always been the one to step up and at least take that chance. Like, my mom ain't gonna struggle. Like, nobody I'm with is gonna struggle if I got breath in my lungs, you feel me? So I would take that chance to become a reoffender than just sit back and allow my family to drown. Or allow, you feel me? Like, that's just how my mind works. So same thing with contraband. Like, I'd rather get caught with contraband to make it in here than to be, you know, bare knuckle, wide around the mouth, trying to figure something out, because that's when you create theft. You create, you know, when you take from somebody and they have nothing, you know, they gonna get it. So it's like, you either get into the contraband world and you find your niche. Like, a dude who doesn't have anything but is okay with sticking tobacco in his butt could literally, you know, make it in prison, because you're gonna get a percentage of everything. You feel me? We look at them dudes and laugh like, oh, he's a this and he's a that. But like, without it, what would he have? And doing that, and like Joe said, getting the outside work crew job, like, it's so deep. Like, motherfuckers literally campaign on the yard about who's gonna get them jobs, because I need to know, like, when you go out to work, I need my eyes, you feel me? I need you out there, I need you, because I know you can stuff the most. He cool, but he really can't stuff that much. And like, it's so strategically placed that people are placed on jobs for these purposes. Like, if you just think about that, like, me as another, what they will call inmate, I call adult in custody, I have the power to tell one person, nah, don't get that job, bro. That's not you. But you right there, you can stick a hole. You feel me? You are a briefcase. We need you on that job. But because I had the money and I had a product, the contraband, I could literally strategically place people where I need them throughout the prison to make my machine run. But not only just me, but everybody eat that way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I just think about, before people hear contraband and just think, oh, they're doing something wrong, or oh, they're doing, like, it's sometimes not all the way that. Like, sometimes I just don't have enough money and I don't make enough money in here to get by without having to steal, rob, and fight.
Sure.
So, you know,
I want to say a couple things. One, I think it's almost like an old issue. I was under the impression that prisoner was the preferred identification of people in your position because it shines a light directly on the problematic. And I was never even myself excited about adults in custody as a, and for any reason. Yeah. What is the reason? Can you just quickly help me understand your choice or understanding around that?
Well, because prisoner is the it's, so within prison, it's a separation between convict and inmate. An inmate is just somebody who have got in trouble, came to prison, and is doing their time straight laced. A convict is the guy who's repeat offender, in there, in all the business, all the mix, doing all the fighting, invested in all the shit. So it's the difference between convict
music.
So
can I just say that is the ostensible difference between convict and inmate? And this is the conversation we had last recording about contraband, is that because convict and inmate are both contraband terms. Let's say that. And whatever.
Part of where I'm trying to go with this is that I do think that we have the power to like shape the language we're interested in. So I am part of why I'm trying to understand what the appropriate terminology that we can shift to identify individuals facing incarceration, which I usually that's how I say it. Like I work with currently and formerly incarcerated people or people facing incarcerated context, right? It's like on them, not their fault per se.
Yeah.
And then with contraband, I don't think we've come up with a term, but mean to just call that out, that we can begin to start to reshape our understanding of that for us and for our audience. So
I just brought that up to, in this, the second separation is prisoner. So we will be referred to be called a prisoner. An inmate, I just really don't like inmate. Inmate has a bad term, a bad history, like I'm not an inmate. Like I don't even know what an inmate is. You feel me? Like an inmate means you take away my first name and I'm called a number. I'm either a last name or a number. A prisoner, you just take away. I'm just here. I'm somebody who has accepted the mindset of a incarcerated person. Like I accept that I am no longer a free person, which is mentally for me. I'm not a prisoner until I mentally enslave myself or mentally imprison my mind. Because ironically as it is, sometimes, you know, mentally you could be in prison and be the freest person there. So for I say adult in custody because it's not a stigma on it. It's just an adult that's in custody. Like it's not a stigma yet. It's not something that they have turned into. Like, just think on the streets if you say inmate. You feel me? Like, whoa, you instantly, you already got this thing painted on you. Same thing as if you say prisoner. Prisoner seems horrible. Prisoner actually seems worse than inmate. But in prison terms, a prisoner is like you work up to become a prisoner. You know what I'm saying? But adult in custody doesn't have a stigma. When I talk to people, I promote adult in custody. Not that I approve of it or that, you know, I'm... Yeah. But to me, it's better than inmate or prisoner because for the new generation of us coming off them tours, we can create what adult in custody is. Like adult, at least you identify me as something other than a number or just last name.
But so I feel like the incarcerate, like the prison industrial complex is like trying to claim the neutralness of that.
Facts.
Can I just point out to you guys how struck I am by how we've gone on for so long about human beings without once calling them human beings. We've called them every name besides human. Right. And that's what everybody does in these conversations. And I can't let it go on between us anymore. Because they are in prison. They, for whatever intents and purposes, colloquially are inmates or prisoners or adults in custody. But the whole point of us talking about it is to say they're human.
But, and Joe, I agree with you. Like, we are humans. We are people.
Not just us.
But
everybody.
But everyone within that system. But, like, you can't be ignorant to the fact of the...
Oh, I'm not ignorant.
To the individuals that are like, yo, I ain't no prisoner. Dog, I'm a convict. I'm a convict. I've been up in here. This is my fifth time up in here.
It's called brainwash.
I'm a convict.
It's called brainwash again. It's segregation. It's separating that I have stripes in doing time. I have been called.
Here's the thing. Our podcast is set out to undo the brainwashing that has been done against people who have gone to prison. So we cannot abide the same brainwashing that happens in there if we mean to undo the brainwashing that's happening outside.
What is happening? This is Tin Can Phones Misfit Audi. Tin Can Phone Podcast airing every first Tuesday of the month on K-Boo Radio. This is K-Boo's end of the year drive, and our goal is to reach $45,000. 45,000 by December 31st. It's important for you to donate, for Tin Can Phone is the only way for the ones inside to hear us and to get their voices from the inside out. Tin Can Phone is that pipeline. It's also important for you to donate because K-Boo is a community radio, so therefore needs your support, needs your help. K-Boo is built and ran by the community itself. We're aiming to reach 45,000 by December 31st. Now, to donate, you can go to kboo.fm/give. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or on your mobile app, you can hit the donate button on the mobile app right off of your phone. And you can text KBOO to 44321. If you ain't got the app, text KBOO to 44321. And if you're a little old school and like to use the mail, hey, KBOO at 20th Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Tin Can Gang, Misfit Audi, KBOO Radio. When?
I want to say a few things. I think ultimately maybe we're all right. That being said, there's someone trying to listen to us and understand what we're saying.
I'm trying to understand what we're saying.
Well, they are also humans, but the humans listening are different than the humans who are making this show. I guess myself included, given that I've been in and out of prison, and the humans that may be listening from inside prison. And we want to be able to identify each group and the privileges that they have and don't have, and so we can both talk about it, but also, if we're able to use our platform for anything, shift the conversation.
All right, so I just want to say this before we go. Hey, man, if y'all on the inside and y'all listen, man, keep your head up, man. We out here rocking with y'all. We out here rocking for y'all, man. It's
free Chris Johns.
Queez, I will say, they won't be able to watch the video, but you do... The grandmother's kitchen, I got like 9 shots of that sitting in my inbox right now. And Queez is always talking about representing the guys on the inside. And after the event, we had BG on the phone, living out the aura. So y'all are in our minds. And to that end, yeah. And we don't need to come up with a term now and can even resume where we left off. But I asked those questions specifically because Queez brought up a ton of really great points, and I think it really happened anyway. But the first half, we kind of talked about this mundane era of contraband, which is important for people to understand on the outside, because it is for that reason, even completely innocuous reasons, like wanting to be able to have a creative looking book or to be able to write in it, that you can wind up in receiving the same punishments on the inside of people who are leaving the prison and smuggling things inside of it. Now, you also kind of elucidated why someone may do that, for what reasons, and the culture around it. And if we come up with a term for contraband that is not contraband, we can really honor those sacrifices. That being said, we don't need to spitball that term in this moment, but listener, coming to you soon, new language around this. I am, though, curious, and is like very interesting, as you were starting to describe this like empire enterprise situation, and that empire enterprise situation, and maybe like is obvious, it feels maybe obvious in the back of your minds. In some ways, it's why I know how to ask this question, but as I come up with the curiosity, I realize the audience is probably not thinking about this. So as Queez was saying that, Queez is a young, handsome Black man, and when he says, we eat, my assumption is that is other Black men. And to that end, as you're talking about campaigning in the yard of who's getting the outside job, they are not splitting crews by race when they sign up. but the dudes inside are functioning within racialized factions and factions of other kinds and needing to politic and navigate certain economic systems within that group, and I imagine in between groups. But that does create a very fascinating black market economy, so to speak, or this, again, market. But as you were also saying, it mirrors capitalism, and it is everywhere, and it is deeply rooted in the culture, and prisons and prison systems know that it is happening. But in some ways, that happening is in their best interest because it creates some form of harmony. However, they reserve the oppressive right to, at any given time, when it inconveniences them, to crack down and to create other forms of problematic and unrest. So as we fine-tune our language, listeners will now understand that all of these strange and terrible intricacies are at play. But Quiz really does bring up a good point that that is a way of eating, so to speak. Be like
also just a connection, Mike. Adult, and then with the contraband, what I was talking about, taking a chance, right? As an adult, what do you do when you know food needs to be on the table? You find a job or you go take that chance.
Yeah.
Adult in custody, it feels great to be called anything other than inmate. So like people will accept that. You feel me? But also the connection to the contraband and taking a chance, this is why I'm trying to humanize and get people and get our listeners. As an adult, if my daughter is hungry and I don't got a job yet, I could put in 3 applications a day and hopefully wish and food will appear in my hand until I could get money to pay for it. Or I'm going to take a chance and, you know, engage in contraband to feed my people, to feed my family. Yep. And it's the same thing in there. As an adult in custody, if I have to eat and the ones around me is starving, I got to take a chance, and contraband may be that chance. So don't blame me. Don't judge me. Don't look at me different because you may see me and see contraband written on my paper, on my slip. Contraband is just taking a chance, and chances make champions.
Also within the system is that there are many men that owe money. They owe some sort of restitution, some sort of money that they have to pay. And guess what? Every single dollar that they make from their job goes straight to that payment of whatever restitution they are. So they're at zero every single month, no matter what the hell their job is. So how do you think they're going to eat? How do you think they're going to survive for their family, for their people, for whatever?
I mean, for
black, white, native, whatever, you know, that's just how it goes.
And some like more nuances on that is like, sometimes the crime you went in for is the reason you have that restitution, sometimes child support. So there's these other forms of money that you owed. The thing I was going to bring up is a very similar situation, is if you're feeding yourself inside, then your family is not spending money on you. So at a minimum, you're doing the side hustle to make up the difference so your family on the outside is not burning resources, if you have them. And if you do have restitution and they take all your money, and no matter that you work, you have zero. And this is like not to include guys who are trying to make a little bit of a pad to land on and leave with some money.
Mm-hmm.
You then are reliant on the institution to feed you, which means you're not buying your own food from the canteen, which is how most guys inside the prison eat. And having food that you didn't buy is
contraband.
What is happening? This is Tin Can Phones Misfit Audi. Tin Can Phone Podcast airing every first Tuesday of the month on K-Boo Radio. This is K-Boo's end of the year drive, and our goal is to reach $45,000. 45,000 wow by December 31st. It's important for you to donate, for Tin Can Phone is the only way for the ones inside to hear us and to get their voices from the inside out. Tin Can Phone is that pipeline. It's also important for you to donate because K-Boo is a community radio, so therefore needs your support, needs your help. K-Boo is built and ran by the community itself. We're aiming to reach 45,000 WOW by December 31st. Now, to donate, you can go to kboo.fm/give. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or on your mobile app, you can hit the donate button on the mobile app right off of your phone. And you can text KBOO to 44321. If you ain't got the app, text KBOO to 44321. And if you're a little old school and like to use the mail, hey, KBOO at 20th Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Again, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Tin Can Gang, Misfit Audi, KBOO Radio. When?
So everything you guys are talking about, I mean, first of all, you guys have answered every question you've asked without saying it. It's all about consumption and all about what's need, what is needed. So it's like we said, it's all about how we eat, and whether you think about it as food or not, it's how people consume things. What are you consuming? What interests you throughout the day? What do you need? So if the needs were met or eliminated, contraband wouldn't happen. Contraband only exists because there is a need to consume food. Food is one of the most popular forms of contraband, right? It's traded, it's stolen because there's a need for it. People don't want to go to sleep hungry.
I mean, it didn't say that, like,
the prison wants you to be a consumer.
Right.
Like if you can't get things unless you buy them from the commissary. If you obtain things from other people and not from commissary, it's contraband. You must consume from the established source, right? You're a captive to this source, and anything else is contraband. You have to be a consumer.
It's interesting the way you just said it. I was like, oh, weird, prisons are fascist, but it's like, duh. But you know, also I've seen other systems, you know, as Armand mentioned, and maybe we'll do an episode on the Norway episode of the prison system in Norway, that like they have a store and you can like walk around and shop in it, and like there's no, you know, it's not like watched, you know, and no one steals. It's just by creating the uncommon form of respect. It's like chill. But also what you're saying, Joe, about consumption is like, it's also, or what do you do or need? And so sometimes the contraband is just a book. Like if it's not your book, but you want to read a book, you need that. And it, like, sometimes it's just, like we said before, a pen, because you just want to write or you want to draw, or like, you know, our good friend Mike or Mark likes to do toilet paper sculptures, but toilet paper, not in the form that it was meant to be used, is also contraband.
I just wanted to say, in the way of consumption and consumerism that is taught through this style of captivity, it's contraband also to repair the things that you own when they break. So you must go and buy more of it. And this is all about need and consumerism also. I just wanted to throw that different angle out there.
Well, and then building upon that, in Queez and Joe, please speak upon this. Explain what it is when dude runs store on the block. So when dudes in the unit on the tier or whatever, and he runs store, please explain that to the people at home that might not understand that economics of it, because that is a huge part of prison, of who is running store, who is running the commissary that you might not be able to get at that moment, but they can get to you right now. So please, guys, speak upon that.
Go ahead, Joe.
First of all, the story you're mentioning is just a guy who lives on your unit who has an overabundance of commissary, and he feeds starving people for 100% interest.
What so does that mean?
You asked for the economics, that's it. The best deal you get is 50% interest. Those are the nice guys. Those are the guys that say, oh, only 1.5. If I give you a box of honey buns, you have to give me, you know, a box of honey buns and then half that value back. You know, the asshole down the tier, is, you know, he needs 2 boxes of honey buns back. Again, you are consuming because you have this need, and then whatever you consume, you owe double. But not only do you owe double to that person, you also owe to the institution if they catch you. And this is about, this is relevant to all of our discussions in previous episodes about what is owed when you're a prisoner, right? You owe yourself. You consume because you have to, because there is constantly a deficit within you, a need. And that is what requires you to go out and get contraband, because your needs are not met in the chow hall or in the day room or in your friendships or on the yard or with your counselor, right? You need to be fulfilled somehow. But then the same thing happens when you get out, and your behavior is also contraband according to your PO or your family members who don't understand why you have these needs. So if really you want to talk about contraband and what's more than a store, right? Because you don't only owe, you only owe double honey buns to the apple on your tier, but the store out here, the people who you borrow time from or borrow your interest from, what do you owe back for that contraband? And that's what we want to leave our listeners with.
Well, I wanted to add one thing. I had a bunch of questions, but we do have so little time. I was thinking, I wonder if we refer to quote-unquote contraband as bread.
We haven't.
No, but I mean, we can.
No, we... Oh, I can. Okay. Oh, right. We're coming up with a term.
I mean, one of the reasons for that is, like, money on the streets is also referred to as bread, and is also just interesting because of the conversation we were having, and I imagined it, but it makes even more sense to me that, like, and as we've said, everyone has to eat or consume and, like, put food on the table or feed the family, like, to just make it analogous with something that does trade hands, but is a both means of survival, but we are also kind of, like, trying to flatten the context for no other reason than to like reclaim the intentions behind it.
Me and the homies call that the pack.
The pack?
P-A-C-K, you feel me? Like, you got the pack or the pack or, but you know, you talk about that package, you feel me? Like, you know what it is. Yeah. Or the eagle, you feel me? The contraband is the eagle. What's that mean? The eagle has landed. You feel me? No. I got it touched down.
This brings us back to the beginning where we told Michael that contraband was only contraband if you brought it in the correct way. And package actually makes sense because you have to package something to put in your pants, which is how we wanted Michael to bring his contraband without telling him. And because that's how it's done. You know, you bring things back from the kitchen, it's in your pants, you package it up and you put it in your pants.
Facts. But I mean, it's interesting because all those terms are also in response to like non-liberatory, right? Like you have to conceal it, and it is in reference to what it is. We can like, what do you want to reclaim it or just use its endeared name?
Reclaim it.
And then should we also, I mean, should we get real with it? Should we talk about the contraband that can come in through visits? No. I mean, because that is a part of this, how we live, you know what I mean? You might have someone that might bring you in something. You might swallow something. You might shove it up in your carriage. You might got to do what you got to do with it, but like, you know, besides the guards taking in, there is contraband coming in a lot of ways. I don't know if we want to talk about it or not.
Could you imagine sitting across from your wife or like your girlfriend or like your kids and having to swallow balloons?
You don't have to. Kind of. Usually, if you're in that situation, you want to. You've designed circumstances yourself.
Again, sometimes it's move. You feel me? Sometimes sometimes you're in the corner, you're trying to get out of it, so you have to. Like, if you're in a position, you gotta eat. You feel me? Everybody eat, B. But just think about that, though. When you sit across from this person from the streets that you love, just the fact that them having to bring something in to you, like, have you ever thought about what that do to their psyche? For one. And then two, if you got kids or if you got anybody there and you gotta, like, try to hurry up and sneak in, you know, put it in the chip bag and then try to eat it or, you feel me, whatever the case may be, just think about the trauma of the people that's around you, the person sitting across from you, knowing what that does to you and making them become a part of that. Like, we make the people on the streets and the people around us become a part of our contraband by having them bring it in and risk their life.
Yeah, facts. And it's just like my dad, I'm gonna throw this out and say hypothetically, if my dad brought in some shoes and then all of a sudden I had some shoes on, and then me and him switch shoes real quick. Bam, that's contraband right there. But guess what? I needed some Air Forces Ones. And my dad didn't give a fuck about walking away with some Rawlings. You know what I, you know what I mean? So that in itself is contraband. So it's contraband. It just varies so much, but it is survival.
Hey, they in my ear. I think they saying we got three minutes, man. They in my ear tripping.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Times Like Now is an interview program. Interviews with interesting people that are doing cool stuff. And my name is Trevor Collins. And on today's episode, I'm speaking with Johnny Greco. He is the Senior Vice President of Entertainment Experience and Production with the hockey team from Seattle, the Seattle Kraken. On today's episode of Times Like Now. Hey there, Johnny. How you doing today? Thanks for joining me.
Trevor, thank you so much. I'm super stoked to be on Times Like Now, hanging out with you, my friend, man. Let's do it.
Cool. So how are the Kraken doing? You know, I'm up here in Bellingham, and I've been watching some matches. What's the energy level? I mean, I'm sure you guys are really excited to be up and running now after so long of getting there. What's it like?
The anticipation was insane, and my own experience is unparalleled, and –